broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears, here on this Getaway Friday, September the 22nd, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour, coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. And boy, what a day we had yesterday. And apparently, I am the last survivor. And I have to tell you, I am barely the last survivor at this point, because I barely made it in this morning. What a day we had yesterday at the Little Brown Jug. What fun it was. Matt Morgan was there. Sean Kraft was there. Mary Ellen Withrow went with us yesterday. We had fun with Roger Houston, The Voice. We were all over that fairground yesterday, and I want to make sure right off the top of the program to thank the Delaware City Police Department, who took us around on their golf cart, because we went to the grandstand. We went to the Roger Houston broadcast pavilion to talk to Roger, which is right out in the thick of everything. We went back to the log cabin where we did the interviews. We were all over that fairground yesterday and just having a tremendous, tremendous time. It was so much fun. Now, Matt Morgan, who was supposed to be here this morning, and I just got a message from Matt seconds ago. He says he's getting dressed now. He needs a new alarm clock. So we're going to talk to Matt about this when he gets in here, hopefully in the next 15 or 20 minutes. But the phone lines are open if you'd like to give us a buzz here on anything. 740-383-9944. We are in the studio. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. And I did see this morning when I was coming in the station, there's a Mr. Rogers stamp out under our American flags today. And I know that came from Ted Jolliffe, because Ted and Carol Jolliffe, because Ted said he was going to do that on Friday. So I certainly appreciate it. I got it in my hand here, Ted. And I thank you so much for the Mr. Rogers stamp, to be sure. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I put a stamp underneath the rock on the American flags on the banister there of the station. Did you get it?
It's in my hand right now. I just said it right before you called. Oh. I said, I got this from Ted Jolliffe.
And Carol Jolliffe, the one that presented that to you.
Well, Ted, how are things going this morning?
Well, everything's fine. You must have had hawk eyes to notice that, and I wondered if you was going to. So I'm glad you received it, and Carol's smiling first. Face accepts your thank you.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. I tell you, I think I'm the last survivor here in this morning.
Matt, I thought maybe he was running late when I was there, and so I put that air on the porch, hopefully that you'd get it, and you were running late.
I ran late this morning, but, you know, Matt was supposed to be here in hour number one this morning, and I just got a message from him. He woke up late. He's getting dressed right now, and he's on his way.
Well, maybe he'll bring you breakfast then, since he had the opportunity to hang around and not get there on time.
Well, you know, I like a good sausage McMuffin now and again, but I'll tell you, that Little Brown Jug, we did not get back last night till rather late in the evening, but boy, it was a lot of fun. A lot more people there this year than last year. Now, I don't know if that's because the weather was better, or if that's a COVID thing, or if that was because of the $1 million purse, but Fox News was there, or Fox Sports was there, Fox Sports 2. It was a real happening there yesterday.
What a terrific thing. Now I understand what the second car in the parade going down was, Mary Ellen Withrow and maybe her daughters or something. But that was great that she got to go. And having the Delaware City Police Department taking you around and everything, wasn't that great of them?
You know, they just could not have been better, obviously. Well, you know, that was for two reasons. Number one, Mary Ellen, obviously, is a little bit up in age, and although she gets around fine, it's nice to have a golf cart for her. And Sean, with his a few health issues that he's going through. It's tough for him to walk that far. So they were just walked up to him and said, "Hey, you know, we're doing some radio and television work here. Can you help us out?" And they said, "Here's your cart," and they pulled it right up and took us all around that place.
And you know, with Mary Ellen Withrow, with the title that she carries with her, they said, "Boy, they'll talk about that to their kids and everything." Guess who I quartered around down at the Little Brown Jug?
You know, I think you're exactly right. And I'll tell you, another fun thing about having Mary Ellen there yesterday was that Mary Ellen, being Treasurer of the United States, with the first $1 million purse, with her having all the money she dealt with, it was nice to have her there to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and did she sign that $1 million, let's put it this way, $1 million bill?
You know, she should have. They should have had. And it was funny because yesterday, of course, I don't know if people know this, but the governor could not be there for the first time in a long, long time because he's got COVID.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, you know what? I've been looked at, made fun of, and everything. But I've stuck with the program since it come out, and my wife and I is going to continue doing that. And what a terrible thing that I heard. I never heard of anybody that we knew of or on a person like our governor, and isn't that something? And I think he tangled with that during the high-rated COVID when it was going on, didn't he?
I think so. I think this is his second time getting it, and it was nice though because last night we were doing interviews. When Roger got done, he came over to the log cabin where we did the interviews. So we had Mary Ellen there and Roger, and they had never met each other, so they were getting along, and it was a lot of fun. And we did these interviews over there, and when the interviews were done, I kept noticing, because it was getting late in the evening, I kept noticing there was this guy standing off to the side, and I kept thinking, well, who is this guy? Maybe he's with Roger. I don't know who he is. So we got done with the interviews finally, and this man in a suit came over and said, "Well, Roger, this guy's been waiting all day to talk to you." And the guy comes up, a young guy, and he says, "I just want to let you know I'm from Governor DeWine's office, and he just wanted to send his best wishes that he couldn't be here today, and he appreciated the shout-out you gave him," and it was all very nice.
Well, that was a polite political move, wasn't it, to have someone represent you and know that they really cared about the not being with the group there and being the Brown Jug. Did you tip the jug, all of you?
Even Mary Ellen, we all tipped the jug yesterday.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I'll let you talk to the general public, and I'll get off of here. Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for the stamp. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I might wait a little bit until Matt gets here to talk a little bit more about the jug yesterday, but we've got a full day of programming here. We've got Pastor Whitaker at 9:15. We've got Matt and I at 10:15. We've got Pastor Craig at 11:15, and then the whole gang, Pastor Craig, Matt, and I at 12:15. And then tonight, of course, Carrington, Matt, and I from 8:15 until 10 p.m. But give us a buzz. Did anybody watch the Little Brown Jug yesterday on Fox Sports 2? First time it had ever been broadcast on a network. And I'll tell you, they had a very small setup. I was right out there in the Roger Houston Pavilion where all the media is, right out there in the center of the track yesterday. And I saw Fox News out, I keep saying Fox News, Fox Sports out there. And it's not a very big setup at all. It's not the setup you might expect it to be. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, Scott, I was promised a clip.
You did what?
I was promised a clip.
Oh, a clip. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Stay on the line here with me for a second if you can. Let me see if I can find that very quickly because I do believe I have it. Now, did you pay any attention to the jug yesterday?
No, I went to Founders Park and watched the concert. I watched the smuggling yo-yos.
Oh, how did that go?
Very good. Some of the music wasn't exactly my cup of tea, but as far as the band sounded amazing. I said, for a free concert, they rock.
Smuggling yo-yos.
Yep.
Really? Now, what is smuggling yo-yo? What do they perform?
Just all like the cover song. Like they did some Rolling Stones, they did some Kiss, they did some White Stripes. Like a different mixture.
That's very interesting. Now tell people, I think I have found it here, so I just got to pull it up here. It'll just take a second. But tell people what goes on downtown on Thursdays.
Oh, there's tons of vendors, local vendors. They have like different tables and booths and tents set up. And there was, my grandkids went and played in the bouncy houses, and that's free. And then there was the band, and there were tons of food trucks. Like a little miniature popcorn festival.
Yeah, like a nice little thing going on down there. Well, that,
right.
You know, that's a lot of fun because I'm glad, and it seems to be growing in popularity as time goes on.
Well, there was a little something for everybody. Like I said, there were little bouncy houses, little things like an obstacle course and stuff for the kids to do. And then there were a lot of people just sitting out in lawn chairs enjoying the band. And certainly everyone likes to eat. There were a ton of food trucks.
Well, what is your favorite food down there?
Okay, the cousin's lobster.
Hey, that doesn't sound too bad. You know, yeah. I got a message yesterday, oddly enough, from somebody who was down there, and they said they were bored, but I think it was just one of the vendors who, you know, wasn't getting a lot of action yesterday.
You had a lot of action where you were at, though, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. It was something down there yesterday. They were packed. It was like 10 deep outside of the grandstand.
Well, who won?
It was called It's My Show, a race called It's My Show. Or I guess the horse was called It's My Show.
Huh. Well, bravo. Well, I'm going to get off here and let you do your shift. I got to do some work, but I'll be tuning in.
I'm going to find that for you.
Okay, bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, I'm still working on this clip here of, it's the old Charlie Evers Bob Austin clip, and I know that we have separated this and put it on here because we've played it before. Let's see. We'll see what we can find here. From A Christmas Past, I guess is what we would call it. I believe it was the Christmas of 2019. I believe is when this all went down. But phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. You know, was that Christmas Eve? I know it was right around Christmas. I do remember that. We are going to find this if it kills us today. Because, boy, that was a fun clip of it's even hard to explain what went on that day, so hopefully we'll get it pulled up here and we'll be able to explain exactly what went on. But boy, a lot of fun at the Little Brown Jug. You know, I'll tell you something. Oh, now here's a, well, this is our top of the hour version of it. This is not necessarily the clip. This is where we've done a top of the hour version of it. I do see that. Boy, let's see here. You know what? We might just have to pull up the episode and find it ourselves here and play it. It is a funny, funny moment from Christmas Past. So we'll do that. As soon as Matt gets here and I'm able to let him talk for a moment, I'll be able to unearth this clip a little easier. But at the jug yesterday, I will tell you something that happened that was a little unnerving. To be honest, was that we were sitting in the log cabin, which is where a lot of people meet, a lot of people go, and Roger had not gotten over yet. The last race had just taken place, but he was over in the winner's circle with It's My Show, who was the big winner yesterday, and we were waiting for him, his golf cart, to bring him over, and all of a sudden, somebody ran in to the log cabin and said, "Somebody's having a heart attack." And I didn't know if it was a false alarm. I did not know exactly what was going on, had no idea. And then come to realize another guy comes running in, and he opens up the EMS case in the wall, and he pulls it out, and they go outside. And then all of a sudden, you see these ambulances pulling up, and I hope the guy was okay, or the woman was okay. I don't think they really said if it was a man or a woman. They just said somebody is having a heart attack out here. I don't know how they knew it was a heart attack. I don't know the inner machinations of all that. But something was going on, and then you saw the lights of the ambulance pull up yesterday, and that was rather unfortunate for that particular person, but we hope they made it out of there okay, I guess is the best way to put it. I think this must have been December 20th. Would it have been December 20th, that much before Christmas? That doesn't seem right, but it could have been. December 20th, maybe December 19th? No, it probably would have been December 20th. December 20th, what would that have put Christmas on? December 20th, 21st, let's see, if that was a Friday, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, that would have put Christmas on the 25th. Maybe it was on the 20th, a few days before Christmas in 2019. I'm almost sure that was the year that it happened. And I'm trying to remember, was it the first hour or the second hour that all happened? I think it was the first hour. I know we were coming back from a break. I do remember that. I remember we were coming back from a break, and that's when it all broke loose that particular year. Goodness gracious, what a time it was. But the Brown Jug was a tremendous amount of fun, and I'm interested to get Matt's perspective on it, because Matt had never been to the Little Brown Jug. So I hope he had a good time. I think he did. And then we went and got food last night when it was all over. Gyros and, or euros, I guess is the correct pronunciation. Euros and French fries and the whole bit. Just had a great time. And want to thank everybody who was involved in that whole episode yesterday. Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Mary Ellen Withrow, Robert Houston, the Delaware City Police Department. Couldn't have been a better day. Just, and the people at the Little Brown Jug were great to us. Tremendous amount of fun. Thank them. We thank them so much. And we'll have some video and audio on this as time goes on. Matt, I believe, has our audio. So when he gets here, maybe we'll be able to pull some audio from the event. But again, the phone lines are open here this morning. What's on your mind? You know, this whole thing with the governor getting COVID, I understand he didn't come yesterday because he has COVID, but people seem to be very split on this all of a sudden. That it seems some people are angry at him for having COVID. And I'm not really sure what that's all about. I don't know if they're angry that he has it, or angry that it got announced, or angry that he's not going to things. I don't know what that's all about. I mean, most people were okay with it, not making a big deal about it, but some people were very upset, and I'm not sure what that's all about. Did anybody hear any of the backlash about the governor having COVID, Governor DeWine? I'm not sure that I necessarily understand it. I'm not sure why there is a backlash. But there seemed to be a little, it wasn't big, I shouldn't say a big backlash. If I said a big backlash, that's wrong. It just seems that some people are a little bent out of shape about this whole thing. I don't know why. I would think with any illness you get, the flu, a cold, whatever, you might not want to go around people, spread it around. I certainly appreciate that he wasn't around, spreading around an illness that he knew he had. I don't think anybody would want him to do that. So I'm not sure. Did anybody see the backlash on this? And here we are. I think we're still in summer. I'm saying we're in autumn. People think we're still in summer. I don't know. Apparently autumn's supposed to happen at 2 a.m. tomorrow. You know, the whole thing to me is just a little off. But phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any thoughts on anything? We're glad to hear from you. Always good to hear from you, the listening audience. Especially after a long night last night. Now, did anybody see this story this morning? I found this kind of interesting. That 35,000 people registered to vote yesterday because Taylor Swift told them to vote. Register to vote. Which is a 22.5% increase in registering to vote from last year. So Taylor Swift, I'm telling you, these Taylor Swift fans, they are, I don't know what you'd call it. They will do anything that she says to do. Almost a quarter more people registered to vote this year than last year because she told them to register. 35,000 people. That's unbelievable to me. Does this shock anybody? Or is this the world we live in now? If Taylor Swift tells you to do it, you do it. If a politician tells you not to do it, or to do it, you don't do it. You know, Taylor Swift, for what it's worth, or whatever you think of her, she has become somebody who is an influencer of people. And I don't know exactly how she became an influencer of people, but she certainly has become... Oh, did you just roll out of bed? Yeah. Oh, Matt's here. He just rolled out of bed. I knew he was going to be late this morning. I felt it in my bones last night as we were all leaving the Jag. I said, you know, he's not going to be there at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. How's it going?
It's going. Well, I had two alarms set on my phone, one for 7, one for 7:30, and apparently neither of those woke me up. But I didn't set my actual alarm clock until 7 or 7:30. I set that till... it was already set from my previous shifts at Kroger, but it was set for 8:15 and 8:30, so I woke up to it at 8:15.
Well, I have to say, I mean, I got here early. Well, I got here before the show started this morning, but it was a little later than normal. You know, yesterday was a bit of a busy day, and got home kind of late, and it was a little rough dragging in this morning.
Yeah, I mean, it was worth it, though. It was a lot of fun yesterday.
Well, tell people it was your first experience with the Jug. What'd you make of it?
There's a lot going on at the Jug. The horse race is going a lot longer than I thought they would. I didn't know that many people watched horse racing.
It's an event.
There was a gentleman who sat there while we were interviewing Roger Houston, and he sat there for the entirety of the interview just to wait for a picture with this man.
Well, wasn't there also a man there from the governor's office who just wanted to say, I'm sorry, Governor DeWine could not be here today?
Same person.
So there you go. What did you make? Now, I'm listening with one clip to a... Cause we need to play a clip here this morning that I forgot to set up. So I'm listening in one ear to that and listening to you in the other. So talk as long as you can on this next question. But what did you make of Mary Ellen being there yesterday? You did your first interview ever with Mary Ellen, first one-on-one. And what did you make of Roger Houston, who you have never met in the, until yesterday?
I think it was nice for Mary Ellen to be there. I didn't know she had any sort of history with horse races. But apparently she did used to go to horse races a lot, but, she also used to bet on horse races, but only in every now and then. Interviewing people is pretty difficult, especially when I don't really know what to talk about. If we were at a horse race, I still do not understand horse racing, so I don't really know what to talk about.
Well, I thought your interview was okay. I mean, you got 6 or 7 good questions off, and then it seemed like you froze there, and I wasn't sure what happened.
I just forgot my question. The question I was going to ask her is if she knows how they come up with the odds for horse bets.
Oh, it came to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good.
I asked her after.
Well, at least you got it in. So when we left last night, you were still down in the Midway area. Was anything going on?
Not really, no.
Kind of died out by that point.
Yeah, once the horse race was over, people were leaving.
Were you surprised at the excitement of the Brown Jug? That they have this log cabin and the Brown Jug in there and all these pictures and a Hall of Fame, and the grandstand was full and 10 deep out on the Midway?
I mean, I didn't think... I mean, I under... I guess I just never understood how big of an event that horse racing truly was. Like I said, I've never watched horse racing, and I didn't know that. I don't really know what they're... I call them chariot races, because that's what they remind me of. But, like, I didn't know, like, the chariot race version of horse races, or whatever you want to call it, existed. I only knew about I don't remember what, like, I didn't know there were different kinds of horse racing. I thought, the only kind was, the one with the jockey on the back.
It was definitely, an event.
Definitely.
You know, I'm listening to this one thing in my ear, so half the time I can't even hear what you're saying. This is an interesting morning. Did you hear the story about Governor DeWine having COVID?
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you think people are upset about this? I'm kind of shocked about this.
I have no clue. I don't really know why you would be upset. He's got COVID. If I had COVID, I wouldn't want to go either. You probably feel poorly, first off. Second off, you're going to get everybody else sick. Just stay home.
Yeah, but why is there a backlash to that? That, to me, doesn't seem like a hard thing to figure out.
I don't know. I think people might be... Maybe they think it's like a common cold or something. I'm not really sure. Because, if you have a cold, you can do things. It's a cold.
I'm just confused. Is it a backlash against COVID?
I think so. I think people just heard that he had COVID and then had, PTSD from COVID lockdown times.
Now, if you want to talk to Matt, give us a call here, 740-383-9944, to get a 19-year-old's perspective of the little brown jug, who did not realize that horse racing starts and ends in Delaware, Ohio, for sure. Here comes a call. Put on the headset. And here we go. Go ahead, caller.
I'd like to borrow a little of your time and just talk to Matt for a minute. Would you mind?
Yo, hold on. Matt doesn't have his headset in yet. He's working on it. Okay, go ahead now. Take it, Matt.
All righty. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, of all the time you've been on the show and stuff, and me being an outdoors guy, and hearing when you first was initiated into the programming there, that you was a hunter and fisherman. Have you been doing any at all this year?
I haven't been hunting at all this year, but I have been fishing a few times, yeah.
And where did you go fishing?
We went fishing out at, Delaware. We also go fishing at Waldo a lot.
Okay, so you just the small time. You're not up the lake area and go out on a charter boat or nothing like that.
I do like to go to Lake Erie, but that's more of a me thing, because a lot of the people I like to fish with, they just like to fish out of rivers and streams and things.
Are you a bank fisherman or a boat fisherman or a kayak and like to travel around and move around while you fish, or just go down and sit on a log or a stump or whatever is available and watch the bobber go up and down? Is that your kind of fishing you like?
Usually I like to bottom fish off the shore. Well, I also don't have a boat, so that probably has something to do with it. But my uncle has a boat, and when I go fishing with him, we do use the boat. But other than that, I prefer to just fish off of the shore.
You're in a good area, the Delaware Dam area, and all around the Delaware Dam area for all the years that I fished down there, and I've been fishing ever since I've been 8 years old. Now I'm 82, so, my father took me fishing. We started fishing down there when they built that in 1952. And there's a lot of good fishing in there, and you can do it just from the shore. And when the crappie runs, you like, I heard you say you fish on the bottom, so you like to catch the catfish more or less?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Have you caught some catfish this year down there? There's catfish in there bigger. Well, I don't know how big they would be, but our son, he fishes in a private place where he's got a camper, and he caught one, I think it was in the 60, 70, 80 pound, and I think one he caught was 130 pound, I believe. So that's a pretty good catch, isn't it?
Yeah, those are pretty good fish.
That's about around what you weigh, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, that'd probably be around it.
Okay. And what are you going to do about the hunting of the deer? Are you going to, I think the end of this month, the 30th, I believe, it comes in for statewide.
I have to sight my crossbow still, but I will be hunting this year.
Yeah, well, good luck to you, and maybe I killed enough time for killed. You see, that fit right in with hunting, but I don't use the word kill. You know why I don't?
Why?
I never liked that word kill because I was introduced to the word years ago, a harvesting the thing. It don't sound so cruel to animals, you know, what other people think of. And you and I and thousands of others, men and women and young boys and girls, they go with their parents and stuff hunting and fishing, but harvest is a pretty good word. But I'll just tell you one little thing I heard that I heard on a conversation. This young lady called in. She said, I don't like people that fish because they hurt the fish's mouth when they hook them. And somebody else made a reply on that, and they said, I never had trouble worrying about that. Every fish that I caught, they was always wiggling their tail. So I thought that was a pretty good... You've always... The fish you always caught, they're always wiggling on that hook, aren't they? Or wiggling their tail, so they must have liked it.
Yeah.
I'll see you. Thanks for talking to me, Matt, and I'll catch up with you later.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Sarah, I think I have found it. Now, here's what happened. Yesterday would have been Charlie Evers' 89th birthday. And we played the obituary that we played when he passed away. I always say passed away, and I hate that. Went on to his reward 3 years ago. And the obituary had some funny clips in it and some serious clips in it. And we got a call yesterday, and we've had some moments on this station, and this is probably our most requested clip. It was not in the obituary because... I did not feel it was exactly right for an obituary, but it might be our most fun clip in the history of WGH Radio. So let me try to set the scene here for what happened. I don't even know how this tradition got started, but every Christmas Eve, or the last show before Christmas, somebody would come in, Terry Klein would come in with spiked eggnog. It was eggnog that had moonshine in it. So Charlie and I would drink eggnog and moonshine all through that show, and by the end of the show, you were feeling pretty good. And the older Charlie got, the easier it was him to feel pretty good during a show. And I used to say, Charlie, does this mix with any of your medication improperly? And he goes, I don't worry about that. So that was Christmas around here. Well, this particular year, back in 2019, Charlie would have been 85. He'd just 85. He ended up leaving us about 4 months after this. But we also had a caller who has since passed away as well, named Bob Austin. Bob Austin was a regular caller, and he had a very gravelly voice when he would call in. And we would all talk about this gravelly voice because sometimes he was hard to understand. But nobody would ever mention anything about it on the air. Okay. That sets the scene for probably the most requested clip in WGH history. This takes us back to December 20th, 2019. Sean, Terry, and myself were all in the studio having moonshine and eggnog. Charlie was in a little deeper that day than the rest of us. He was hosting that particular show. Terry Klein was serving up the eggnog and moonshine. And we got into a conversation about the Swap Shop theme song, which Glenn was hosting at that time. Glenn Coble, running for mayor now, was hosting Swap Shop. We got into a little conversation about the Swap Shop theme song, which led into a phone call from Bob Austin. And this is what transpired on a Christmas 2019, probably our most requested clip. Brace yourself, whatever you're doing out there this morning. Let's go back to Christmas 2019. Sarah, hope you enjoy this. And Charlie, Jeannie, if you're out there listening, hope you enjoy this as well. If you want to laugh, there's no sadness in this clip. And this is spontaneous radio. Here we go.
Okay, we're back once again here. It's your Christmas program today. Yes, It sure is Christmas, isn't it?
And we've still got another hour after this.
We do.
The Exchange Club is on.
Oh, that's right, the Exchange Club.
Which will all be... And I heard you say earlier on how much you really enjoy the Swap Shop theme song.
Oh, don't mention it. Don't mention it. Oh, it's time for Swap Shop. Bring your goods here. We'll sell them for you. Oh, my. I've heard some bad themes, but boy, I tell you, that gets up and walks out.
Well, that was a heck of a job. I mean, the poor fellow is, you know, he's mentally challenged.
Yeah.
What? Oh, no. Gee whiz, that's terrible.
Oh, it's you know time that, for Swap Shop.
Who sings that, don't you? The Swap Shop theme.
Oh, we have an incoming call.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Who sings
Jeez.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charles.
Yes.
Yeah, are you guys in the swap today?
Do we have what? Are we in the swap? Yeah, you want to join us in the sauce?
You sound like you're in the sauce today. You're having too much fun.
That's right. You're exactly right.
It's Christmas.
I am doing pretty good.
Yep, you're having too much fun. All right, Charles.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, Jesus.
No more
knocks
on heaven.
Oh,
no, man. Oh. We crashed this train. We used to have to go off the tracks.
Boy.
We're deep in the sauce today.
Knee deep in the sauce today.
It's 11:48. We need somebody else to put on our card here to give away.
What?
That was a Christmas celebration 2019, December 20th. And, you know, I was there. Matt, you've never heard that clip.
I have not, no.
Oh, yes, that's the type of things that used to go down here at this station.
It's beautiful.
Could you tell that maybe some people had been knee-deep in the sauce that morning?
The first thing that happens in the clip that you started was they were like, oh, and we're back. And then you guys just start laughing.
It was... Everybody, I don't know what the blood alcohol level was that morning, but it was definitely getting a little rough. And when Bob Austin calls in with that gravelly voice and Charlie imitates him back to him, you feeling mighty low? When he does, I just, everybody in the studio hit the floor. It was because Charlie would not have done that if he was sober. He would not have done that. It just wouldn't have happened because Bob called in a lot. He was a regular caller. And oh, when he did that, we all knew what had happened and just couldn't even, I can't even tell you what that morning was like. And that is our most requested clip in the history of this station.
I mean, I can see why.
Oh, Jeannie, Charlie, what was going on that morning? God almighty. It was, I remember leaving that day. I had to go take a nap that day. Everybody'd had a little, by the time 3 hours were over of having moonshine and eggnog, and we drank them from big goblets.
How did you get home?
For the purposes of this story, I took a cab home that day.
Okay.
I took a cab home. That's how you should handle that on a Christmas celebration like that. I'm telling you, Christmas around here is, you've never celebrated a Christmas around this station. It can get a little rough sometimes. That was a rough morning. We had done that before. We had done the eggnog and the moonshine, but that particular year, for whatever it was, and it ended up being Charlie's last Christmas, I don't know what happened. It just got deeper than it should have. A little too much was consumed on the air that morning, which led to that particular clip. You could listen to that whole two-hour broadcast, and you can hear it getting more deteriorating away as time goes on. Sarah, did you like it? We played it for you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does the clip still hold up nearly 4 years later as a good clip?
I think that's probably the funniest clip I've heard since I've been here.
Oh, it was a moment. Let me tell you. So yesterday we played the obituary, which had some sentimental moments in it, but there's nothing sentimental about that clip. It's just You know, for a long time, we would not replay that clip when Bob was still with us, because I thought Bob had a good sense of humor about it, but I did not want to play the clip and have him think that we were making fun of him, because that's not what was happening. It was just too much had been consumed that particular morning.
So, how did this man react?
Bob?
Yeah.
Well, he actually came in later that day. The post log to that story is he actually came in later that day, and Charlie did the imitation to his face. Because by that point, Charlie had really been in by the third hour. He had really had quite a few. And when Bob came in to drop off some Christmas candy, he did the imitation to his face. And I was sitting right there for that. And thinking, am I witnessing this? This is the weirdest Christmas I've ever seen. It was unbelievable.
It's funny.
Well, that's the great thing about radio is that you never know what's coming next. And things like that. We couldn't script Bob calling in for that imitation to happen. I just asked Charlie about the Swap Shop theme song. I didn't know he was going to go off on that whole little tangent about it. I don't think he normally would have had there not been alcohol involved. Moonshine in particular on that particular morning.
It was a little too comfortable.
Little too comfortable. And you know the problem with that moonshine and eggnog is you can't taste the moonshine.
That's the issue with a lot of, like, flavored moonshines, is that it just covers up the flavor of the moonshine.
Oh.
So then all of a sudden, you just realize that you're a little more influenced by it than you were supposed to be.
Now, I will say this, and maybe this was a foreshadowing that I should have paid attention, because Charlie drove himself back and forth to work every day, and I did notice that morning he had himself brought there by his wife, because his wife picked him up. Genie. So I think he knew that he was going to be drinking a few that day.
It sounds like it, yeah.
So, you know, it was how it went, and there it was. Sarah's probably out driving the bus, but Sarah, there's your clip. Hope you enjoyed it, and if you have anything, I hope you didn't crash the bus laughing so hard at that particular moment. We have a lot of moments like that, and you know, if I actually thought about them, but that is the most requested, but if I actually thought about them, we could go back and find some pretty interesting times we've had here at this station in the last 9+ years.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Things just happen, and sometimes you have no control over them. Like yesterday, as part of the obituary, my favorite funny moment, it seems like it always happens at Christmas. We used to have a family that came in, and their last name was Leszewski. Well, for some reason, Charlie had a problem pronouncing Leszewski. And it was Lesekny, Leszewski, Lesekny. Just couldn't... I had trouble in the beginning, too, until I thought Gretzky, Leszewski, and I finally got it. So we're at the Christmas party, and I'm saying, Charlie, because I knew he couldn't pronounce it. I said, Charlie, pronounce their name, and he would try and try and try. So we have him trying to say Leszewski, which he never did get that morning, all throughout that Christmas broadcast, which that's interesting. That's entertaining. And he makes fun of Santa, in that because Santa didn't have much to say. Santa, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm fine. And there was some laughter involved there. It's always a good time. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Pastor Whitaker right after this. Don't you dare go anywhere.
And I said, no, that's Marlo Thomas. I said, Marlo has the money, and Marla is after it.
Do you regret not getting as many award Emmys, things like that? Does that ever factor in?
No, because I say the work is its own reward. You can't decide who's going to give you an award.